Returning to Ramanashram, Part 2 by Denis J. Hattle. She was one of the luminaries that revolved around the sun which Sri Bhagavan is for the world, said K. Vengatraman, popularly known in Sri Ramanashram as K.V. Mama. He was telling me about someone he knew intimately, so intimately that he had always called her mother, even though she wasn't his mother. She was his grandmother, and H.M.R. was her name. Anyone who has ever read about the string of tragedies that befell Ichamal before she came to the Maharishi can only remotely imagine her grief. Think of it. You were happily married and well-placed at the age of 24, blessed with two lovely children, one girl, one boy. Your husband falls ill and within a short time dies. Before you are able to recover your mental balance from this loss, your son falls ill and dies. And even while you are still in a state of shock, your dearly loved daughter, your sole remaining child, is also taken away in the same manner. If you have a family, think about it. What would be your condition after such a series of tragedies within a lapse of less than 1 year? Yes, that was Ichamal's condition when she walked up to the Virupaksha cave to meet the young sage, then called Brahmana Swami. She stood before him for 1 hour, and in that 1 hour, her tormented heart and shocked mind were transformed. A wave of peace gently rolled into her heart, and the dark cloud of anguish dispersed from her mind. K.V. Mama joyfully recalls this event as if it was his own birth, and in a way it was. After this meeting with the Maharishi, Ichamal settled down at Thiruvannamalai in 1907. Subsequently, her niece, who Ichamal adopted, came to live with her. Chellamma was her name, and like Ichamal, she looked upon the Maharishi as her savior and lord. In K.V. Mama's words, Chellamma was a ripe soul, recognized by Ichamal and completely surrendered to Bhagavan. Chellamma was K.V. Mama's mother. Added to the list of Ichamal's tragedies was the death of Chellamma soon after she had given birth to her first child. The mother's dying wish was that her boy should be raised by Ichamal. That is why K.V. Mama doesn't remember calling anyone by the name of mother other than Ichamal. While I was in Ramanashram, I began rereading about Ichamal's life. She was perhaps the most prominent woman devotee of the Maharishi, serving him and his devotees for nearly 40 years. I looked through all the ashram publications and found that there wasn't much printed about her. From the few anecdotes I read, it became clear that her real or complete story is yet untold, and there was no one more qualified to tell it than K.V. Mama. 10 years ago, K.V. Mama retired from government service, and since then, he is regularly seen working in the ashram office, serving the needs of devotees and guests. I had read that Ichamal, after meeting Bhagavan, returned to her village, collected all her belongings, came back to the Thiruvannamalai and rented a house in town. What was that house? I asked K.V. Mama. Bubbling over with enthusiasm and love, he said, it is at 42 Carr Street, near the eastern gate of the Arunachala Temple. I will take you there. Then he went on to explain. At the time she settled here, Bhagavan was coming down the hill to beg his word. She then got the idea that there was no need for Bhagavan to make this trip into town to beg his food, as she was prepared to take cooked food up to him every day. Thus began her daily food offering to Bhagavan that continued uninterruptedly until her death 38 years later. Ichamal used all her resources to serve Bhagavan and his devotees. When Bhagavan's mother came to spend her last years with her son on the hill, the devotees staying with Bhagavan didn't agree with the idea of having a woman living in the ashram, even if that woman was the Maharishi's mother. Bhagavan was then living in Virupaksha cave. Ichamal took Aragamal, Bhagavan's mother, to live with her in town. For 1 week, Aragamal and Ichamal walked up the hill every day to see Bhagavan. Although Aragamal would live 7 more years, her health was not robust, and the daily climb up to the Virupaksha cave was wearing her down. Seeing this, Ichamal took up Aragamal's case before Bhagavan and his devotees. She told them that it wasn't right to make mother suffer in this way, as she had left everything and had come to take refuge in her son. "And yet, you will not permit her to stay with him?" she said. Bhagavan's disciples countered her arguments, saying that if they allowed the mother to stay, next Ichamal and other women devotees would be demanding their right to stay also. "Then what kind of ashram will this be?" they asked. Ichamal then told them, "Can I or any other person on earth be as blessed and fortunate as the mother of Bhagavan? She cannot be looked upon as an ordinary woman. Right here, standing before Bhagavan, I make the pledge that I will never request to stay in the ashram, nor will I ever ask permission for any other woman to stay in the ashram." Even after hearing all of this from Ichamal, Bhagavan's disciples still refused to relent to her request. Throughout this whole discussion, Bhagavan remained silent. His silence was interpreted by the men devotees to mean that he agreed with them and didn't support Ichamal's view. But after Bhagavan heard Ichamal's appeal, he quietly rose and walked over to his mother, took her hand in his and said, "Let's go. We can find some other place to stay. They do not want us here." Of course, all the men devotees immediately withdrew their objections, and mother was accepted into the ashram. Thus, Ichamal played an important role for securing the comfort of Bhagavan's constant company for Aragamal in the final years of her life. K.V. Mama took me by auto rickshaw to the house where he lived with Ichamal at 42 Carr Street. He knows the present owners intimately, as they are the descendants of those who lived there when he was a boy. With evident glee, he showed me their rooms throughout that large complex. This is where Ichamal slept, where she cooked for Bhagavan, the well she drew water from. In this manner, he went on telling many stories, remembering how Ganapati Muni, Seshadri Swami and others would come to this house to take food from Ichamal. With joy and affection, he narrated whatever he could remember. One could not mistake how at the center of his life, his mother's life and Ichamal's life, Bhagavan was the guiding force and source of inspiration. Like the links of a chain, these three generations have been united and locked together in the love of their Lord Ramana. Bhagavan seemed as much present now for K.V. Mama as when he was a boy riding on the bullock cart taking food to Bhagavan with Ichamal. Before leaving, I took photos of the house wherever I could find adequate lighting. I later asked K.V. Mama about the death of Ichamal. He related some events not recorded in any of the ashram books. It seems that though Ichamal was not suffering from any illness, about 2 weeks before her death, she traveled to Madras and asked one of her nephews if he would conduct the obligatory ceremonies upon her death. She even discussed the matter with Bhagavan at this time. Surely, she must have felt a premonition. Bhagavan was told by several devotees how Ichamal lapsed into unconsciousness 2 days prior to her death. In spite of this, when Bhagavan was questioned whether she was conscious at her death, he said, "Yes, she was. She remained as in Samadhi and passed away." It is even said that they did not know when exactly life expired. This was recorded in Day by Day with Bhagavan. When I had heard so much about HMR from KV Mama, I began wondering about her ashes, which I understood to be buried in her village. I asked KV Mama how far away was her village and if there was a monument at her gravesite. KV Mama sadly confessed that the land where her ashes were buried was sold long ago by her brother. Also, he was uncertain about the fate of the ashes. Then I said, shouldn't her ashes be brought here and buried near her master? Who will remember her in the village? She will always be remembered here. Can't we go dig up those ashes, bring them here and place a small memorial over them? KV Mama was immediately enthused by the idea. Already, he had constructed a two-story cottage in the ashram in memory of HMR. Returning her physical remains to the place where her whole life was centered certainly would be the final consummation of her devotion and dedication. 2 days later, I walked into the ashram office and saw KV Mama quietly sitting at his desk. When I looked closer at his face, I saw a teeming excitement bristling just below the surface. I sat next to him and asked him if he had any news. He warmly took hold of my left hand and clapped my palm, saying, Kumar, my son and his family are coming here from Bangalore tomorrow. He will do pradakshina and leave on Sunday. Before he leaves, I want him to take us in his car to Valapakkam, HMR's village. On Sunday morning, 30th of September 1993 at 6 a.m., I was in the ashram kitchen drinking coffee while KV Mama packed idlis into his tiffin carrier. J.J. Raman, the ashram librarian, was also accompanying us on the trip. Kumar arrived and we joined him. We first drove around the holy hill and then joined the Velur road, driving north. It was 30 miles to Valapakkam and it took us about 1 hour to reach there. It had been 20 years since KV Mama had visited HMR's village and his son Kumar last saw the place when he was 8. HMR's nephew, who now resides in the ancestral home, is 90 years old. He and all the household were surprised and happy to see KV Mama and his son. The old man of the house was still quite alert and could speak both Tamil and English. He, in fact, is KV Mama's uncle, being the brother of his mother, Chelamma. He remembered HMR very well. His daughter brought out an ochre-colored sari that belonged to HMR, which they were preserving. I asked for a piece of the cloth to keep as a relic in memory of her. They gladly ripped a strip from its hem and handed it over to me. We inquired about HMR's ashes. KV Mama's uncle said he also was interested in digging them up a few years back. The land where they had been buried was sold in 1956. In 1957, his father went on a pilgrimage to North India, and only recently he was told that when his father visited Varanasi, he scattered the ashes of his cherished daughter HMR over the holy waters of the Ganga. That meant the ashes were gone. Nevertheless, we decided to take a 10-minute walk through the fields and farmlands to the site where her ashes were once buried. Standing there and looking south at the horizon, a slim outline of a solitary, symmetrical hill can be seen. It is Arunachala, the holy hill that drew this grieving mother, HMR, to his divine son, Ramana. And as long as the sun, or the sun which Sri Bhagavan is for the world, is remembered, HMR will be remembered.